Open, du will des Wunders sehen. Es würde dir dein Jesus allzeit zur Seite stehen. Oh, dass du könntest glauben, du will des Wunders sehen. Es würde dir dein Jesus allzeit zur Seite stehen. Die Sänger sind wohl heute in
It looks like that the singers are not here, or that they are not prepared. Be welcome in the precious name of the Lord. I would like to ask at this weekend, who is for the first time in our midst? Would you please raise your hands, or would you stand up? Who is today for the first time in our midst? Please stand up. There are two brothers. God bless you in a special way. Here, one kind young man. There, a very dear brother from the Czech Republic. He has a German name. He speaks good German today for the first time in our midst. Just a few weeks ago, he heard about that, what God has done. He heard it, he believed it, and it was revealed to him. It's just so nice. In the moment where faith sets in, then revelation also sets in. And then comes the blessing. Here are a few more. There on top, 1, 2, 3. Be welcome, our precious sister from Chile. God bless you in a special way. God bless all our friends in Chile in a special way. And may he be with all over the earth. Brother Wallström is sending greetings. The brethren from all over Africa are greeting you. We are just so glad and thankful to God that we can carry the word and that there are people who believe the divine message, who receive it. It's of course written in Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And to this, one can say, whoever believes the divine message, to him the arm of the Lord is revealed. To him the arm of the Lord is revealed. If no singing takes place, then I would like to ask our brother Gilbert, that he comes to the front, that he prays once again with us, and that he lays the service to the Lord.
Amen. Singen wir noch, glaube nur, glaube nur.
Glaube nur, glaube nur.
Alles ist möglich, oh Glaube.
Amen. Amen. Ihr mögt euch setzen. Nochmals herzlich willkommen.
Once again, be welcome from all peoples, tongues and nations. To the Lord God be the thanks for the opportunity which He gives to us to carry His word into all the world, bringing the last message to the people of God, the calling out and the preparation of the church, of the bride church. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And those who were ready went in to the marriage supper, and the door was closed. At the end of what God is doing right now, the perfection of the bride church must and will take place. He who started will also finish unto the day of His glorious return. We really see both in our time, the total falling away, the fear of God is no more among the people. And sadly, it must be said, probably, there's no other nation on earth like our nation, which goes beyond every limit, which goes even beyond a divine limit. Most surely, you all heard of it, of the new Bible for the people in the German language. It is just impossible what is being done now. I'm just reading 2 or 3 places. In our Bible it says, Our Father who art in heaven. In this new Bible it says, Hi, you up there. Hi, you up there. In our Bible it says of Satan. In this new Bible edition it says the dark side of the power. In our Bible it says Jesus was riding on a donkey. In this new one it says Jesus on the motorcycle. Tell me, where shall this end? Tell me, how shall it end? The measure is full. The country which experienced the breakthrough of the Reformation, the country which was itself divided by the Reformation into North and South, Protestants and Catholics, the country which God used after the 1,000 years of the rulership of the Roman Church to give a breakthrough so that the proclamation of the word was again put unto the lampstand. And without the breakthrough at the time of Luther, no further revivals would have been possible. This was the beginning. Everything else were continuations. And every time, it went deeper and deeper. Up to when 100 years ago, the Pentecostal revival broke through. And it was really exactly 100 years ago, 1906, when the breakthrough, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit took place worldwide. I personally still met brethren in the city of Kassel who were present in 1909 when the outpouring took place in the city of Kassel. And they could actually report to me in what kind of glorious way the Spirit of God came upon all who were present. And as on the day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. But then happened again that what happened already in all of the past. One has again organized, putting up the various directions within the full gospel. Here a headquarter, there another headquarter. Here they decided, there they had to say so, and God had nothing to say anymore. There, where men take themselves the right to dictate what should be taught and believed, there God has no right to say anything anymore. And therefore, our decision is firm. Not to hear to that what men decided in certain creeds and certain articles, but to lift up the Holy Scripture and to believe with all our hearts, as the Scripture says it. We also spoke about that in the big churches, Presbyterian Church, Methodist Church, also at the Baptist, one is knocking now, that they shall also take over the worship of Mary. And 7 pages are written here in this world-famous Time magazine, explaining why Mary should be honored, so that Protestants and Catholics are coming closer to one another. Then we have here, also mentioned already yesterday, the number 666 shall not be valid anymore, as written in the Bible, but 616 in our Bible remains everything as it is written. Regardless of that, what people are publishing and what people are saying, then especially also that Judas shall now be beatified, so that all can call upon him who get in trouble and perhaps are tempted to commit a betrayal. Comment? No. No comment. One sees on all how far things have come. And especially when we look to Jerusalem, when we look to Israel, then we have sorrow in our hearts. And especially also the thought that very difficult times are ahead of the people of Israel. This just hurts. And then we read in Romans chapter 11 that they, as the natural olive branches, they were plucked off because of their unbelief. And we, as the wild olive branches, we were grafted into their place to bring forth fruit. Unbelief is a very wicked thing. I actually wanted to use another word here. Let us believe. Just believing, as the scripture says. Unbelief, doubt, has of course set in already in the Garden of Eden, and the twisting followed, and the fall was perfect. So, not compromises, but believing as the scripture has said. If we may mention this also now with Israel, no other nation on earth had to walk such difficult ways, was so scattered, and this with a statement of faith in the Torah, and also written in every mezuzah. And despite of this statement of faith, which they even are honoring up to this day, yet they went astray, because they did not recognize the fulfillment of the promise, missing the day of God's gracious visitation. Even as God's people, we cannot afford to bypass the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Whoever bypasses it, he bypasses God, and him God will also bypass. We are singing in a song, when the Lord meets me in his word. When the Lord meets me in his word. First the encounter. First the word of promise. And then the fulfillment. If we just may also mention this here now. Hamas. An organization like El Fatah and some others, known since many years, just naturally seen, it's a hopeless situation. And Israel is so much cornered that at the end they will have to depend on God alone, who will make a great reckoning with all. Then we see also on the other side, we heard it in the news, there shall be made now a compromise among the powers, China, Russia, Iran, and the rest of the world, and all shall find the compromise and agree to it. We of course know, based upon Bible prophecy, we know where everything is leading to. To this are two verses enough. Daniel 7, verse 23, the last world power shall devour and subdue the whole earth. And Revelation 17, verse 17, the kings of the earth shall give their power until the words of God will be fulfilled. So we see in everything the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, and we are asking ourselves, watchmen of the night, how late is it in the night? Watchmen, how late is it in the night? It's so nice. And I would like to emphasize this now. It's nice that we remain sober. That all, young and old, big and little, that they remain sober until the Lord comes, that no reproach comes upon the Lord and upon His word and upon the divine message, but that all are going after their work, doing their jobs. And thanks be to God, we don't have to say, like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7, he said, because of the present distress, I advise that the young people should necessarily not have get quickly married. Although the present situation is difficult, and it will get more difficult, but it's still possible that young people can make a covenant with one another. Not so. There's no problem yet to do so. So, remain sober in all things, in the spiritual realm as well as in the natural realm. Today, I cannot do otherwise but to just briefly refer again to the past 40 years as we have written it. Just very briefly. We are really looking back to the leadings of the Lord, to the directions, to His directions, which the faithful God has given in the course of the years. And we may say it here now, that perhaps like this, it has never been on earth. That God has even taken care for the accommodation of those who would come. That it was to the God of heaven, that it was a direct concern for Him to buy the neighboring piece of land. And the words are still sounding today in my ears and in my heart, and build upon it. Because many people will come from many countries. You have read it. This is the truth. Not even 10 meters from here, it happened. Right there where the stairs are going down, 2 meters next to the stairs, there it happened. I can remember every place and time, and to that what the Lord has said. And when I then look back to these 40 years, also in reference to my beloved brothers here, Brother Russ, Brother Schmidt, and all the brethren who in all these 40 years were standing at my side, supporting the work of God. And when I then think about that we, in the year 2005, that we spent more than €500,000 for the work worldwide, and you are the ones who were taking care of it. Brothers and sisters, this I'm saying with recognition. I'm aware when you are coming here every month, what kind of costs are involved in it. It's not unknown to me. I know about these things. And yet, you have given to the Lord what actually is His already. What belongs to Him, you have given it to Him. And by this, it has become possible to carry the precious word into all the world. Presently, I think it's 67 brothers whom we support all over the world on a regular basis. We support them. We pay for the printing costs and for all the other costs which are in connection with the spreading of the divine message. I would like to make use of this day to thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's easy to say, I serve the Lord, I follow the Lord, but it's a complete different thing to add unto the faith also the obedience, and to put the kingdom of God at the first place. As our Lord said it, seek ye first after the kingdom of God, and all the rest shall be given to you. We think on our brothers from the Czech Republic, from Slovakia, from all of France, up to Grenoble, and all are coming, and all are coming. I know the distances. I drove from here, from Krefeld to Vienna. I just stopped to fill up fuel, and in the earlier years, I drove all the way through. It's exactly 1,100 kilometers on the dot from Krefeld up to Vienna. I know my way around in Europe. In earlier years, I actually traveled all the distances, be it to Rome, to London, to Paris, or Denmark, doesn't matter, Warsaw, doesn't matter. All these trips in earlier years, I traveled by car. I just want to bring this to a close now. In saying once again, that by this, it is also proven what the Word of God means personally to you, and that your interest is also therein, that the divine message is not put under the bushel, but unto the lampstand, and that it is being carried into all the world. Yes, we have all reason to thank our Lord God. In reference to the proclamation, you know very well that all three aspects must be included. The evangelistic part, the teaching part, and the prophetic part. And when we may give an example here, in Matthew chapter 24, our Lord speaks about the end time in general, of all the earthquakes, famines, expensive times, about false prophets, false Christs, that if it were possible, also the very elect would be deceived. So close would be the right from the false, or the false from the right. Because the genuine comes always first. First the Lord sows his seed, and then comes the enemy behind and sows his seed. And this is then always the interpretation. And then the people are taken away from the genuine to believe the interpretation. But if we then go to the book of Revelation, to chapter 14, from verse 6, then we are right in the prophetic part. And in both cases, it is about the everlasting gospel. In Matthew 24, verse 14, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all nations for a witness, and then the end shall come. But who then goes to Revelation 14, he comes to a complete different subject. Namely, we just read it now. Revelation 14, from verse 6, Revelation 14, from verse 6, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. And now comes the prophetic part, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And then comes the next message. Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And then comes the worst threat which there is in the Word of God. Verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast. So, the last world power, the beast, and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Of his name. Not of a system, of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith in Jesus. Brothers and sisters, we are living in a prophetic age, and everything what was predicted comes to fulfillment. And therefore it is necessary to carry the biblical proclamation into all the peoples and tongues. Because both has taken place. All the people have drank from the wine of the wrath and went astray. And therefore, into all the nations, the clear and true message must be carried to call the people out of confusion so that they become true believers. We also heard all about what happened in Copenhagen. And to this, just this remark here. When something is being said about the prophet of another religion, then it looks bad. But when about our Lord, the most impossible is being said, then everything is all right. When one writes about our Lord, that he was married to Mary Magdalene, what kind of things have been written already about our Lord, and nobody says anything. Even the most pious people not. They don't even think about it. To us, it's a grief. To us, it's a grief. We are grieved about the mockery of the enemy. And Peter said it. In the last days, scoffers will come who walk after their own lusts. But may all the scoffers hear it. Hurry up. You don't have much longer. Scoffers, hurry up. You don't have much longer. The time is running out. No man knows when, but so much we know that we arrived in the end time and that such a mockery of our Lord was never on earth. Really not. Let us come quickly to that, to the special subject, the day of the Lord. And that God promised to send a prophet. We have the holy duty to believe every word of God. And please, don't be angry with us, but thank God that He has revealed unto us His word and will, leading us into His word, step by step, to firstly show you the harmony now, which is also between those who will be called out of Israel and between the bride church, which is raptured before that. Just to show you how the Spirit of God works this divine unity, but only in the moment where also the 144,000 let themselves be placed into the will of God, experiencing their sealing. And then there is divine harmony. I'm just reading three places from the book of Revelation. The first one, from Revelation 14. Revelation 14. And please, take note here. In verse 1, the 144,000 are on the Mount Zion. In verse 2 we read, and I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sang as it were a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And now it comes. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. So, the singing of the Bride of the Lamb in heaven sounds down to Mount Zion, and the 144,000 are tuning in. Brothers and sisters, the moment comes where the divine harmony of the Bride and Israel will be fully established in the divine order as planned by God. Revelation 15, verse 2. Revelation 15, verse 2. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, And them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having the harps of God in their hands. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." Who wants to tune in into this song? All of us. And I tell you, if you can believe what God promised for this time in His Word, if you can receive it and accept it, then you have part in that what is taking place now. And what is taking place now is the condition to that what is still going to happen until to the moment of the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the changing of our bodies into the resurrection bodies. Maybe some may take it now as a consolation. We, of course, have promises in the Holy Scripture. And there is the moment of the fulfillment of such promises which are earmarked for a specific time. And there are promises which apply for the whole time period in which we are now living. When it's written in Romans 9 that God will do a short and mighty work, and then even in the book of Hebrews, like already announced in the Old Testament, in the prophet Haggai, that God will do a short and mighty work where the heaven and earth shall be shaken, where really the supernatural will take place in connection with the perfection of the bride. We are now coming to a point. I'm not looking here for a way of escape. We have heard wonderful testimonies also early this morning of Sister Schmidt-Wagner, and time and again we heard testimonies of that, what God is doing. And yet I am standing before the question whether God probably has ordained time and hour for specific cases which I cannot decide, whereto I have absolutely no influence on. One question: has not Brother Branham seen a vision? Has he not seen a little room where people on one side are coming in without any arms, whatever they had, and where no prayer was necessary anymore, but the word was spoken, and it happened, and it happened on the spot. And this is the mighty and short work which God will do to bring and work about the rapturing faith in us. Someday, Brother Branham said, now we don't even have faith that our stomach aches are being healed. And we need the faith which includes the whole changing of our bodies. Not only a healing on some member of the body, but the whole transforming of the body who is in the flesh into a resurrection body. And all this God will do. I'm not worried about what is left up to God. He will take care for it. Our task is to walk forward in faith, to trust the Lord, to leave everything to Him, knowing you will bring it to pass. And He will bring it to pass. Now, the scriptures which speak of the day of the Lord and of the sending of a prophet before the day of the Lord breaks forth. I read to this just very, very briefly from Isaiah, chapter 13, Isaiah, chapter 13, verse 6. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. And they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Joel, chapter 2. I just want you to see today the difference, and that you get the opportunity to see how the Old and New Testament were brought onto one common denominator. Joel chapter 2, verse 31. Joel chapter 2, verse 31. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. Zephaniah, chapter 1. Zephaniah, chapter 1, verse 14. The great day of the Lord is near, it is near, and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Malachi, last chapter, the last verses. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And then the promise is connected to it. And he, not a crowd of charismatics, not a crowd of evangelists who build their own kingdom within the kingdom of God, but the man sent from God with the word of God, with the divine message to bring bride and bridegroom together. and to say what the bridegroom has to say to the bride. Verse 6, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Here we have, in the Old Testament, the description of the day of the Lord. And then comes the turning point in the New Testament, the dividing of this day into the day of Jesus Christ and into the day of the Lord. Then Peter speaks in Acts 2, not anymore about the terrible day, but of the glorious day. I read it to you so that you see that at the end of the time of grace, really something happens. Namely, firstly, with the bride church, which experiences her perfection and which is then being taken up. This is the nice part, the glorious part. The other part follows right after that. Let us read it. Acts chapter 2, verse 20. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. So, and what now? In all the places which we read before, it is the great and terrible day. Now, the great and glorious day. Both is right. Both is correct. In view of the return of Jesus Christ, this day is the glorious day, the wonderful day. In view of that, what happens after that, it's the terrible day, the day of desolation and destruction. Read with me 1 Corinthians chapter 1 from verse 7. Let us read from verse 7 to 9. 1 Corinthians 1, 7-9. So that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the subject, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, unto the end. And listen closely, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son Jesus Christ our Lord. Here we have the glorious day, the notable day, the day of Jesus Christ, on which we are all waiting for, the day of the return of the bridegroom to take the bride home. Let us read it in Philippians a couple of times. In Philippians, in chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, and then verse 9. being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. We of course always are speaking of the completion. He who looks at the creation work, there is written, and on the seventh day God completed his work, and then he rested. Now, at the end of the seventh, of the last church age message, church age, God completes his work of redemption amidst the redeemed. And I say it time and again, a better characteristic that we are part of the elect does not exist. Why not? Because we have the grace to hear what the Spirit has to say unto the churches. We understood that the Spirit reveals the Word. The language which we have, the expression of our thoughts, happens, of course, by our words. And so, God lets us know his thoughts of love toward us by speaking to us through his word. It's just so wonderful how God leads all this. And then it says in verse 9 and verse 10 in Philippians 1, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. This is the purpose of the divine message in this time, namely, to appear without spot and without wrinkle, blameless before the Lord when he will return, purified by the blood of the Lamb, sanctified in the word of truth, being found in obedience to the word, as the scripture teaches it. In verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. We didn't bring anything with us. Everything was given to us. And everything is grace, and again grace. In 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, we read, of course, also of the day of the Lord, and again, in a very specific connection. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And then we are told what happens at that time on earth. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Yes, this is the one part which does not pertain to us. To us pertains the second part, namely verse 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Why are we not in darkness? Because it has become light at evening time. The written word has become the revealed word. And by the Spirit, we were led into all the truth by His grace. So, but ye, beloved brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you. All the others, yes, they will be surprised. As just as a thief does not apply and register, knocking and would you be so kind to open me? No, the thief comes, steals, and is gone. But we, as the church, no, not such a surprise. Why not? Because the divine message precedes the coming of the Lord. Because a wake-up call goes before that. A wake-up call. And this is happening in our time. Brothers and sisters, this is not an imagination. This is the plan of salvation, which we experience based and promised in the Word. Where's the Amen? But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you. The others, yes, but not you. For ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. And do you know how Paul is ending this wonderful letter? From verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here we have a very clear statement. At the return of the Lord, everything will be as it was decided by God in His plan of salvation. That ye may be blameless. Your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have mentioned it. In the last extraordinary moving of God, the soul will not lack, and the spirit will also not lack, and the body will also not lack. The full redemption, as it happened on the cross of Calvary, will become a reality in all who believed God. In all who received everything, as the Lord promised it. Let us summarize of what it's about now. The return of Jesus Christ is the most wonderful and glorious promise. John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. 1 Corinthians 15. We shall not all fall asleep, but we all shall be changed in a twinkling of an eye. When the trumpet sounds, it will take place. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 from verse 13. The Lord will return, and all who died in Christ he will bring with him. And we, who we are alive and remain, we will be changed, and we shall be caught up to meet him in the air, and we will be with the Lord forever. And there we will be playing on harps, singing the new song, praising God and giving glory to him. All who hear the call of God now, they will hear it then when he returns. He who does not experience the calling out cannot experience the completion, leave alone the changing of the body. May God give us grace, much grace, to recognize the seriousness of the time, but not to fall into depression because of all the difficulties. These are our ways. And Peter writes, rejoice if you have to go through various trials. I also would have wished myself a comfortable way. Who of us doesn't want it? But just look around you. Look into the Bible. How was it with the prophets? They were persecuted, stoned, killed. And they went from city to city and carried the precious seed of the word. What crime has Joseph committed when his brothers throwed him into the pit? Do you know when this happened? When he saw visions, when he had dreams, when the Lord revealed himself to him. In the moment when the Lord revealed himself to him, then came jealousy. Jealousy came. And they said, you dreamer, you think that we will bow down to you as you have seen it with the sheaves? And behold, he was no more. Yes, he lands up in the king's palace. And then comes a woman and wants to rape him. Most of the time it's the men who rape the women. But now she wanted to rape him, and he refused, and behold, she takes the jacket off him, and he runs away, and the jacket is in her hand, and she said, look here, this is the proof, he was here, here is the jacket, the proof, he wanted to rape me, and behold, he lands in prison. Yes. And one could ask oneself, dear God, would it not be nicer if you would have done it the other way around, that the Pharaoh would have landed up in prison? Look, this is God, how God is doing it. This is how God is doing it. And you know, what is the most precious? When the famine became very intense, and when his brothers were in great need, trouble, yes, you know the story. And the end of all the story was, he, at the second time, he didn't speak through interpreters anymore, but he spoke with his brethren in the Hebrew language. Yes. And then it was done. Then they were so overwhelmed and said, oh, what have we done to you? And he says, don't feel guilty. This God has led this way so that you, in the time of famine, remain alive. Then it's worthwhile to walk the hardest way. All the despising and rejecting is worthwhile. Prison is worthwhile. Everything is worthwhile. If our brothers and sisters remain spiritually alive and are fed with the precious revealed word of God. The ways of the servants of God are misunderstood ways, difficult ways, but they must be walked, because by this we are purified, and finally not our will can be done, but the will of Him who called us. Brothers and sisters, it is a wonderful gospel, a revealed word. And also this service, I don't want to finish without testifying before the whole world that I, Brother Frank, believe that Brother Branham was the promised prophet, that God used him to bring us back to the faith of the fathers at the beginning, to rebuild everything in the church of the living God upon the original foundation, where the divine order is established again before and in connection with the completion of the bride church. What people are saying and writing about you and me and us, this hurts. I must honestly say, I have a book, there's my name written in. I have extracts from the internet. There's also my name is written there. No words of praise. But how was it with my Lord? How was it with the prophets, with the apostles? We carry the precious seed in tears, and we may pray for our enemies, and we may bless them. Especially that one lady who really wrote very bad things. It was directly in my heart. Pray for her. Pray for her. And, yes, I would not be surprised when this couple one day would be here, when the hand of the Lord would touch them. With God, all things are possible. Dear brothers and sisters in all the world, and all who are here today, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. We did not preach interpretations, but we came to know the significance of the word, and we may walk on with courage, because he who started, he will finish unto the day of his return. This is then the glorious day unto which we are all waiting for. Blessed and praised be the Lord, the Almighty God, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us stand up, but today we will thank God. Today we will thank God together. Whether we must still sing a chorus, I don't know. If our sisters would have a song, it would be nice that we just would thank God at this place, thanking Him also for all the past years, for all the leadings, all the directions, for all the help, for everything what God has done and what He is continuing to do. Praise and thanks. Do you have a nice song? Oh, nice. Of course.
My God.
Wer gleich Blut rot die Sünde, soll sie werden weiß wie Schnee. Wer gleich Blut rot die Sünde, die Sünde, soll sie werden weiß wie Schnee. Und was so rot wie Scharlach, soll wie Wolle sein. Wer gleich blutrot die Sünde, wer gleich blutrot die Sünde, soll sie werden weiß wie Schnee, soll sie werden weiß wie Schnee. Hört die Stimme, die ladet, o bekehret euch zu Gott. Hört die Stimme, die ladet, o bekehret euch zu Gott. Denn er ist voll Erbarmen, seine Treu ist groß. Hört die Stimme, die ladet, hört die Stimme, die ladet, o bekehret euch zu Gott, o bekehret euch zu Gott. Er vergibt Übertretung und gedenkt der Sünde nicht. Er vergibt Übertretung und gedenkt der Sünde nicht. Kommt zu ihm, ihr Müden, denn bei ihm ist Ruh. Er vergibt Übertretung, er vergibt Übertretung und gedenkt der Sünde nicht, und gedenkt der Sünde nicht.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Isaiah 1 and Psalm 103. We are bowing our heads and we remain in silent prayer. We are examining ourselves in the presence of God. And whoever wants to fully dedicate his life to the Lord should do it now. We don't know whether a better opportunity will still come. Especially the youth is on our hearts. Be it still the school time, be it the training or the job, or be it decisions which are made for life. Brothers and sisters, God has laid it in such a way that we come together, young and old, big and little, from near and far, from all peoples, tongues, and nations. God has laid it in such a way that we have a house of God here, the most simple in all of the country. God has laid it in such a way that we have accommodation facilities, no luxury, just like at Bethlehem, just very tight and simple. But we are here to hear the word of the Lord. We are here to believe, as the scripture says, to receive and to have part in that what God is doing. I would like to give this call especially to the youth who wish to dedicate their lives fully to the Lord. Come unto me, saith the Lord. Humble yourself. Lay your life to the Lord and Redeemer. Commit your ways to Him, and He will bring it to pass. I would like it best if at first only the youth would come who were spoken to and who feel on the inside that this is the day which the Lord has made for me to dedicate myself to Him. If you would come to the front without forcing you, that we pray for you, believing with you and consecrating you to the Lord. Let us sing, "This is the day," and may some come if they feel to come. This is the day.
This is the day. Dies ist der Tag, den der Herr gemacht, den der Herr gemacht. Dies ist der Tag, dies ist der Tag, den der Herr gemacht. Lasset uns froh und dankbar sein, lasset das Wort und den Geist hinein. Dies ist der Tag, dies ist der Tag, den der Herr gemacht.
Come a bit closer to the midst. Come a bit closer to the midst. We see also young people who grew up in believing homes and families. And we are so thankful when the Lord is still calling, and He's still calling, and we may come to Him. He will bring it to pass. Beloved, just look here. I'm sincerely glad. I'm honestly rejoicing that the youth are dedicating their lives to the Lord. I was 17 and a half when I surrendered my life to the Lord. And I'm looking back to all the many years which I don't regret, because they were lived for the Lord. God has given us the grace to have been called out of this world and to become His own possession. Everything is grace. And the Lord says, ye are not of this world, even as I am also not of this world. Ye are in the world, but not of the world. Look, the time, of course, didn't become better. We can all imagine what you have to suffer and to have to go through because you are believers, or that you have believing parents, and that you can't go on with the multitudes. But you know exactly, you don't belong there. Look, the Lord called you and pardoned you, and today we will pray that your life is dedicated directly to the Lord at this place. Because you also believe the promises of God. Your faith in Jesus Christ is already a revelation. You could not believe if God didn't give you the grace to do so. And so, we're just so glad and thankful. The main thing in every service is the salvation of the soul, the full salvation, grace of our God. No teaching brings us to heaven. First, we must be born again, and then comes the teaching. Then we are led into the Word. So, Today I would like, when you pass here, when you come here and pass here, I would like to lay hands on all of you, blessing all of you in the name of the Lord. First, we sing a chorus. Brother Russ, say one. He is the same, he is still the same.
Derselbe noch, derselbe noch, o glaub es doch, Jesus ist derselbe noch. Die gleiche Kraft, Jesus hat die gleiche Kraft, die Wunderschaft, Jesus hat die gleiche Kraft.
Before we pray now together, I would like to ask whether in the audience are still brothers and sisters who have a special need. Then we want to bring now everything to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee with all our hearts, O Lord, that You have fulfilled Your promise and that You are in our midst, that You are speaking to us, that You are forgiving sins, that You are healing the sick, that You are giving revelation, and that You are confirming Your word in all who believe it. Dear Lord, I commit this service as a whole under the protection of Your blood, under the obedience of Your word, under the leading of Your spirit. Have Your own way with all of us. Thy will be done. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glorify His name. And you, youth, today you have experienced the grace of God. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it, and let us give glory to Him. And now we thank Thee, dear Lord, for the answering of our prayers. And we are praising the power of Your blood, of Your word, and of Your spirit. Have Thine own way with all of us. In Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated.